Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Jeando Mazarero, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Montpellier, France. And we're going to continue in a series of conversations we're having about the influence on François Del Sartre on F. Matthias Alexander and the Alexander Technique. And our topic for today's show, which Jeando might want to modify, but I'll just throw it out there. The question, was F.M. Alexander the first Alexander Technique teacher, or was he the best packager of Del Sartre's ideas, or both? Jeando, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome. Thank you very much for having me here.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you about this, and there's been quite a bit of reaction to our two previous podcasts. So I think this is kind of an interesting question. I mean, you raised earlier on what seems pretty certain to have been a strong influence of Del Sartre's ideas on Alexander's own story and on his writings as well.
Yeah.
And so that series of questions I just posed occurred to me after listening to the second of our podcast last time. Is there a way you could answer that question in under 20 minutes?
Yes, because I think I can frame a very, very quick answer.
Okay.
And then I will, if you let me, I will explain a bit more why there is this two-head answer.
Okay? Sure.
So, was he the most effective promoter of Del Sartre's ideas? Yes, for sure. Well, for sure, for what I've read, for the extensive study as I've had of the Del Sartre system history in time, it is quite clear that the young Alexander was the most intelligent promoter of Del Sartre's work.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that it's the only one I found to really understand and continue the teaching of conscious guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Del Sartre system has been promoted everywhere, but it's only in Tasmania that the teaching of conscious guidance, that is the teaching of concerted activity with verbal instruction, the promoting of the autonomy of the pupil has reached really its highest point.
Mm-hmm.
So we are talking about the young Alexander here.
Mm-hmm.
But my answer is not complete, because also Alexander is, to me, in my eyes, the first real modern Alexander teacher. And that is after 1925. He became the teacher of the Alexander Technique as you know it, which is the introduced hands-on work,
mm-hmm.
Which is a sort of conditioning through correct sensation, where, in fact, the orders, the verbal instruction, have become like a trigger of a subconscious representation of good use, which is that the pupil experience a different use that is, in fact, brought to him by the hands of the teacher, and the verbal orders are triggers of that use.
Right. But before he arrived at that hands-on process of teaching, from what you know, was he teaching... It sounds from what we talked about earlier, he was basically teaching Del Sartre's ideas, but not including the illustrations that Del Sartre created. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And could you say a word or two about the role of those illustrations? I know we covered it before, but I think it would be worth describing again.
Yes, and it will help understand the difference between conscious guidance and the new technique with the hands-on. Yes, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, it's necessary to understand the aim of Del Sartre, because the aim of Del Sartre is very different from the aim of the older Alexander. At first, Del Sartre is a teacher of the heart. He's a teacher of art to singers and actors. And so his idea is to help people to express on stage mental phenomena, which are sensations and emotions. It's very difficult, really, to, in fact, project sensations and emotions that you are playing. Mm-hmm. And so Del Sarte recognized that the play at his time was very dry or very, I would call it, not impulsive, not real. It was fake, sort of.
And that was sort of, that was mid-19th century France, right?
Yes, yeah.
Early 19th century, right.
France. Mm-hmm. France and the States, too, because the Americans were the first one, and really, they were the best supporters of Del Sarte at the time. You know, so what he found is that in order to express mental phenomena as emotions or sensation on stage, so that the public would get the meaning, will get the situation the actor was trying to portray, he found that he had to guide them and help them to use conscious guidance of the mind and will. You have to understand that at first, conscious guidance is not conscious guidance of the physical self. Mm-hmm. For Del Sarte, it has no meaning to think of the guidance of the physical self. For him, the physical self is just the instrument of mind and the instrument of will. Mm-hmm. So it would reach body language. It will reach voice, which is another part of the body production, you know? Mm-hmm. And in order to reach that, all the parts had to be organized as a whole according to a reasoned plan. That's the idea. And so we are talking about the tableau, the diagrams or the images that Del Sarte was producing. And he was giving these different images to the student. It was a psychophysical training of the mind and will to free the path of expression. Mm-hmm. And this came through mental behavior, attention, memory, reasoning had to be improved because there was a poor direction of these aspects of the control of the actor. And because of that, and only because of it, there was a poor play of the part of the physical body.
And did Del Sarte use these images in combination with other methods like verbal instructions or hands-on or anything like that?
Well, the tableau or the what we call the gestures, which are in fact an image where you see the relationships between the different part of the torso and the different part of the torso and the head. These was in fact a way to explain verbal instructions.
Yeah.
It was a combined system where to get the understanding of the instruction, you needed to look at the diagrams, because otherwise you wouldn't have known what the instruction meant because they were different from your habits.
So at the
time, I could find no clue, no idea, no proof anywhere that any of Del Sarte teachers or himself ever manipulated anyone. It was absolutely not part of the system. Mm-hmm. In order to understand the instructions, the pupil had to watch the tableau, had to watch the image. And then when this was done, you have to understand that there was not one image or one set of instructions. It was because they were not looking for the correct use of the part, as we would say today. No, they were trying to find freedom between the parts according to certain laws. So Delsarte would give more than one picture, more than one set of instruction. And so with this instruction and the two diagrams, the pupil would go in front of mirrors, and he would, in fact, direct, well, which means repeat the instructions by heart, you know, and he would project the instruction to the different parts of his reflection, which means that to project, in fact, it's a problem of practical will. You have to have the top part of the torso to be backward. You have to be the second part of the torso has to be antagonistic to the first one. The third part of the torso has to be antagonistic to the second, and the fourth has to be antagonistic with the third. And you have to relate that, and you have to present not only this as a statue. No, the idea was to have a fluid movement from that, in fact, whole set of relations between the parts to another set of whole relations. So the fluidity, the passage was more important than the impersonation of the statue.
So he was teaching movement.
He was teaching movements.
Now, did Alexander have any access to either these illustrations or to whatever Delsarte's verbal instructions were?
Well, I must tell you, you are changing subject now.
Okay.
No, it's okay. I will answer this.
Yeah.
For the moment, all this is conjecture, because my understanding of the situation is through studying the writings of both men, and the fact that I found that Alexander lived very near Mr. Delsarte's brother, Camille Delsarte, in Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
So we know one thing for sure is that Mr. Camille Delsarte, the younger brother, left France in 1857.
Mm-hmm.
So we are quite sure that he brought with him the Delsarte system at this age, at this time, and not later. This is very important because Mr. François Delsarte, the founder of the Delsarte system, well, in France, he changed his mind. He started to refuse to teach the gestural training after his brother left. So his Camille, when he emigrated to Tasmania, he had the 1857 system, yeah? And what we are quite sure is that he was not following the full Delsarte theoretical system, and he was more into, well, using a much simpler system, where instead of this passage from one tableau, one what would you call representation or conception of the whole movement to another and to another and to another in order to produce a fantastic and lifelike representation of emotion or sensation, it was much simpler. It was just, in fact, passing from the wrong use of the parts to the correct use of the mechanism of the torso and the head. So he didn't need as many pictures as his brother would have. And also, there is something that is quite clear, is that Delsarte, the François, the older brother, the creator, he was a fantastic drawing person. He could take a piece of paper and draw yourself or draw you in a different move as you are, you know. Mm-hmm. While this is a skill that you have to train for years and years and years. And, I don't imagine that Camille's little brother did all that, because he was just a teacher of singing. He was just a guy that was renowned for curing voice problems.
Mm-hmm. And we know for sure, I know that we don't have any direct connection between Alexander and Camille. They didn't as far as we know, they didn't
meet. As
far
as I know, no.
But on the other hand, Alexander certainly spent time with a lot of Camille's students.
Yes.
And he, at some point, I think around 1896 or so, put himself out as a teacher of the Delsarte method. He explicitly says that in his advertising, right?
Yeah. He should have written a teacher of the Camille Delsarte system.
Well, because, I imagine that nicety wasn't utmost in his mind. But yeah, as you said, he wouldn't have said that. I believe it was in Melbourne that he put that out. He would not have done that given that all his friends and fellow actors knew about the Delsarte method if he himself didn't have some training or background in it, right?
That
I mean, he would not have called himself, it would have been a foolish move to call himself a Delsarte teacher if he didn't actually have some exposure to Delsarte's ideas.
That's my idea.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
I'd like to keep this conversation a bit on the short side, but I do want to ask you this. Would it be at all reasonable to suggest that when Alexander himself started teaching other people, that since he didn't have these images, they weren't available to him, that he came up with what we now call Alexander technique directions as a way around that problem?
Yeah, I think that your idea is really sound, because when I studied the instructions, I found that despite everything he says, they are not means to achieve something. Mm-hmm. They are the result. They are exactly like the diagram. They are the result that you should see in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I really do think that you are correct, that Alexander's instruction, instead of being, as Delsarte's instruction, the means to achieve a conscious guidance of the practical will, so that you can set each part relative to the other in a correct organization of the whole. They were like, well, the diagram, they are in fact a representation of what you want. They are the end.
Right. And would it also be fair to say that his directions were not totally satisfactory in the sense that a lot of people really couldn't master them properly? They were just too long, too complex, several sentences worth. And that emerging out of his frustration with them came hands-on work?
Well, I will answer this, but very slowly, because everything is not correct. Well,
okay.
In my idea.
Okay? Uh-huh. Okay.
You have to understand that Alexander, in fact, transformed the use of instructions, which were at first the means of the movement. They were the explanation of how you should move one part in what direction relative to what. Yeah, mm-hmm. They were geometrical instructions, and he transformed them into the result, which is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So the insatisfaction he found with these instructions is like normal. Because they are not the right tools. I don't know what happened, but he mistook the means for the end here. It's very strange that this could happen, as he's always talking about the danger of making this mistake. But it's quite clear, because nowadays I, in fact, decided to go back to the early Alexander technique. I wanted to find how Alexander could, in fact, work with himself alone without any outside help and change his use, change his habit of mind and his habit of will.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, in fact, to see the instruction he was using as what they are, which are ends. They are not the means. You know, if you, for example, I will give an example so that this becomes a bit more clear. You have heard the expression lengthening and widening the back.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is a result.
Right.
This does, it does not give you any sort of indication of the movement of the different parts of the torso that are necessary for the spine to, and the torso to lengthen and to widen. You know, the,
right.
It's only through maybe the ministration of someone, the hands-on of someone, that maybe these words could trigger the right thing, but they are not means. You understand? It's a very different thing.
I understand. So, but it sounds like his verbal instructions were actually descriptions of what he wanted to have, wanted to happen. But they were not actually ways to make it happen.
Exactly.
And so when students would use them, they would become frustrated, I would imagine. And at some point, it seems as though, according to Frank Pierce Jones, it was around 1914, but at some point, he basically, it almost sounds like he kind of gave up on peer directions and said, I'm going to get it for them, basically, by using my hands to guide them.
That's my impression.
Yeah. And that, I think, might might be a good place to bring this conversation to an end and follow up on it with questions about what are the implications for today's teaching and so on. But that, but the big picture, I hadn't actually, I had always felt that Alexander's early directions, at least the ones I know about, were flawed mainly because they were so complex, too much to process in the moment. But I'm getting from you that there's an even more fundamental flaw, which is that they aren't actually directions. They're more, they're more what I want to have happen, but not any way to actually get to it.
Exactly. But may I say something? Just one last thing, because we don't have to belittle the man, because in fact I said that he maybe made a mistake about the way he worded the instruction as a representation of what he wanted instead of the means. Yes, but as a translator of Alexander, and I can tell you something, is that his books are a gold mine. Because behind the instructions, you get the books, and in the books, you get, well, nearly all the means you need in order to fulfill the end that he's proposing. And it's very important to that he left us the end result we want. You understand?
Sure,
he left us
absolutely.
The end result we want. Well, for up to us to try and understand what he meant, because it's not that straightforward. But also, there are so many biomechanical indications in his different books.
Right.
That
right.
It's possible to reconstruct the means to achieve the end he's proposing to us.
So okay. I totally agree.
He gave us a lot. Without him, there would be no technique. There would be no initial technique. There would be no understanding of the Delsarte system either.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. Well, let's bring this conversation to a close, and then we're going to do some more. My guest today has been Jean Doe. Let me get my little cheat. Jean Doe Massoero, an Alexander Technique teacher in Montpellier, France. And Jean Doe, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yes, thank you for listening.